but it wasn't worth the effort. This guy says his name is Sam. She's not sure she believes it. She's been seeing him off and on for months, whenever he or she gets the urge. She met him when she was pregnant, of all things. To some guys, it's a turn-on. He made her feel sexy, despite the extra weight, which is far more than she could say for her husband. Like her, Sam is married, and he isn't the only guy she's been seeing on the side. The few times they've been together, Sam takes his ring off and leaves it on the dashboard, as if that somehow mitigates what he's doing. She doesn't do the same. She isn't one for feeling guilty. She's made herself believe that it's her husband's fault she does what she does. Turnabout is fair play. The sky is full of stars. She stares at them a while, finding Venus. The night is cold and her arms are covered with goosebumps. She's thinking about his car, how warm it will be once she gets inside it. She's looking up at the stars when she hears something coming at her from behind. She spins around, eyes searching the street but coming up empty in the darkness. She chalks it up to some wild animal rummaging through trash. But she doesn't know. She turns back, goes back to walking, picking up her pace. She's not one to get scared, but she starts thinking of what-ifs. What if her husband is on to her? What if he is following her? What if he knows? She tells herself he doesn't know. He couldn't know. She's a very good liar. She's learned how to silence her tells. But what if the wife knows? She isn't sure what Sam tells his wife when he leaves. They don't talk about things like that. They don't talk much at all, except for a few preliminary words to kick things off. Don't you look pretty? I've been waiting for this all day. They're not in love. No one is leaving their spouse anytime soon. It's nothing like that. For her, it's a form of escapism, release, revenge. Another noise comes. She turns and looks again, truly scared this time, but finds nothing. She's jittery. She can't shake the feeling of eyes on her. She starts to jog, but soon trips over an untied shoe. She's uncoordinated and nervous, wanting to be in the car with him and not alone on the street. The street is dark, far too dark for her liking. She senses movement out of the corner of her eye. Is something there? Is someone there? She asks, "Who's there?" The night is quiet. No one speaks. She tries to distract herself with thoughts of him, of his warm, gentle hands on her. She bends over to tie the shoe. Another noise comes from behind. This time when she looks, car lights surface on the horizon, going way too fast. There's no time to hide.
Part 1. Delilah. Now. I hear footsteps. They move across the ceiling above my head. My eyes follow the sound, but there ain't nothing to see, cause it's just footsteps. That don't matter none, though, because the sound of them alone is enough to make my heart race, my legs shake, to make something inside my neck thump like a heartbeat. It's the lady coming, I know, cause hers are the bare feet, while the man always wears shoes. There's something more light about her footsteps than his. They don't pound on the floor like the man's do. His footsteps are loud and low, like a rumble of thunder at night. The man is upstairs now, too, because I hear the lady talking to him. I hear her ugly, huffy voice say that it's time to give us some food. She says it like she's teed off about something we've done, though we've done nothing, not so far as I can tell. At the top of the stairs, the latch unlocks. The door jerks suddenly open, revealing a scrap of light that hurts my eyes. I squint. See her stand.